Jonty, could you just describe the neighbourhood and the locality you're in and how that's reflected in the church?
Yeah, so London Bridge and the area where we are, it is very transient, and therefore the makeup of our church, the way our church operates, it's spread out, and people are, we're trying to work out how you build community with people who aren't necessarily living in community. And I think that has big implications. It's very, very easy for us to become increasingly monocultural. I don't just mean that in terms of ethnicity, but in terms of background. And we have to work very hard to not slip in. That's the easiest way to go, right? Everyone's university educated, or everyone's from this sort of background. And when, they may be from different countries and different nationalities, but it can still become very mono in its culture. And I think that's one of the challenges for a church like ours, to actively think about. So we try and address that in different ways.
Just down the road at Hope Church Vauxhall, very different setting. Tell us about it, Sam, please.
Yeah, so we're on the Vauxhall Gardens Estate, which is one of the sort of council estates in the Vauxhall area. Diverse council estate, predominantly white working class, but people from all over. Interestingly, a large proportion of Eritrean and Ethiopian refugees who've come over in the last sort of 15 or so years. People from all over the place. Africa. All over the place. And then that's to an encouraging extent is reflected in our church community as well, which has been a real blessing. We've seen that change over time. When we started, we were quite monocultural in some ways, a little bit like Globe in some ways, and some of the guys had come from Globe, but our intention was to as quickly as possible reflect the local community, and we've started to do that. It's been slow, but we're much more reflective now of the Vauxhall community than we were beforehand. So that includes young professionals living on the estate. We've seen some of the Eritrean refugees who have come to faith in Jesus and joined the church. Others who were part of the persecuted church in Eritrea and fled over here. And then again, other nationalities reflected in our church community.
And yet again, travel on half a mile to where we are today at Stockwell Baptist, Yannick, and a distinct community again reflected in the church.
Yeah, so I guess Stockwell historically, 20, 30 years ago, even going back 60 years ago, it's really a central home of Black Britain due to really the Windrush, and people came and settled here and in Brixton. And so we have people, a number of people in our church who belong to that generation, people who came over in that Windrush period. Did a funeral this week for someone who was in that category. And so there's that group of people, and then over the years, a lot more people from Africa came over to places like London, and that's reflected. So a number of first generation people. We also have a whole bunch of second generation African and Caribbean people, which probably make up the majority of the church, in the sense that the majority of the church are people who are either first or second generation African or Caribbean. But Stockwell's changed a lot in recent years. It's increasingly a whiter area than it was before. And so, trying to reach those that are here, really. We want to share the gospel here in Stockwell. And we have a number of our people are people who live locally and aren't African or Caribbean. And it's been a blessing to see that. And we want to see that grow, specifically because we want to reach this area. And the area is increasingly different to what the majority of our church looks like. So that's what we're seeking to do. And that's really what the makeup of the church looks like.
So three distinct churches, all within geographically quite close proximity to each other, which kind of highlights the commonality you have is the desire to spread the gospel, to raise disciples. The challenge is that, and the uniqueness is that of your particular setting. Jonty, how did you go about trying to reflect that congregation and the background of it and the surrounding area in your life together as a church? How does that work out?
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I think it's something that there's been a lot of soul searching in recent years. I think a greater awareness of the importance of reflecting diversity, the goodness of diversity in all sorts of different settings. And I think quite a lot of church leaders, I imagine, like me, have wrestled with that and have been trying to think and sort of saying, oh, we should be more this, and we don't have this group, and I think we can be quite a lot of angst about it, really, and feel quite burdened about it. And I think over the years, and I'm still wrestling with these things, but I think there are ways of expressing diversity that don't mean that we have to be everything to everyone. And I think that can be one of the problems, right? That as a church, you think, well, we need to be doing this and this and this. And I'm not entirely sure that that is very helpful in terms of the burden that it then places on church families and pastors. So I wonder if it's more that you say, well, who are we? Who is it that God has made us? Where are our blind spots? Mm. Where are our strengths? Where are the things that we could do better and we could learn more? And where are the areas where actually we could express that love of diversity in all sorts of different ways? By partnerships with other churches, by caring about. So for example, take Sam down at Vauxhall. Globe Church is never going to be the church that someone who's lived for 40 years on a council estate in Vauxhall, they're never going to come to Globe. Even though we're only a mile away, we can't be that. Now, much as we'd love to be, and much as I care about the people in London who are lost, I can't run a church. You know, we can't have a church that does everything. That's why we need lots of different churches. It's why we need to keep planting more churches of different types. But what we can do is say we care about those two people. So a key part of our role at Globe, and a key part of the way I think we express diversity, is by giving people a vision for what they could do to get involved. So no, the people from Vauxhall Gardens Estate are not going to come to Globe. But some guys from Globe could get a real vision to move on to that estate, get stuck in, become... put down roots there, become friends and neighbours and share the gospel there. And I think there's ways that you can express your love of diversity that don't necessarily mean we suddenly need to beat ourselves up and say, I've got to be this, and I've got to be, you know, I've got to be a black church and a Chinese church and an estate ministry church. You can't. So I think you talk about it, you love diversity, you share the vision, and then you say, Lord, please raise up people who will then go and do all sorts of different ministries.
It's an interesting point you make there, isn't it? That example that folk who've been brought up, their background is off of the urban estate, would find it very hard, just culturally, to go into Globe. And yet folk that are in there can go to Vauxhall to serve.
Yes.
But that has happened. What's been the things that those folk have had to work through, Sam?
Yeah, lots of stuff. I think it's been a humbling experience. I mean, for me, like I'm in that category. Like my background's mixed, but it's predominantly sort of middle class, sort of educated, mix of different places. I had to learn. So I guess a lot of it is just listening. A lot of it is just learning from mistakes. So saying the wrong thing or acting in the wrong way and sort of slowly realizing it. I think one of the key things is listening to the people who you're around, hanging out in the places that those guys are hanging out in, not trying to be someone that you're not. So I think sometimes we've had experiences where people have felt like, oh, maybe I don't belong at Hope Church because I'm not like the people that you're. So a godly Christian saying, maybe I shouldn't come here because I'm not the people that you're trying to reach. I'm living locally, I'm living on the estate, but you know, you're not trying to reach people like me, so maybe I shouldn't come here. And we really want to say, no, that's not like, you don't have to look a particular way or dress a particular way or speak a particular way to be beneficial here, to be of use here. We want to be a local church for local people. If you're a local person and you want to get stuck into this, this is great. What we encourage is humility, is an understanding of local, which sometimes for some of our, young professionals from middle class kind of educated backgrounds, they lose the localness of London. So like London is just a big city, and they might hang out with their friends here, they might, you know, be in contact with people there, they might work here, and they'll lose this any identity of local other than, well, this is where my flat happens to be, so I'll live here. And what we try and do is encourage humility and encourage people to be where they are. So sometimes that means kind of you might have loads of relationships, loads of friendships across London. We don't want you to stop those friendships, but investing more locally, investing in your neighbours, investing, drinking in the local coffee shop rather than the fancy one up the road. Those kind of things help sort of be present in a place, be local, get to know people, but still be who you are, not trying to speak a different way or act a different way. And we have seen people merge and change, and people do start to maybe dress a little bit different. And there's nothing wrong with that. That happens in every culture where you become part of a new culture. But we don't want the external to be the main thing. We want the kind of the heart change, the humility, and the real, like, what does it mean to live? What does it mean to be me, but be me in this place, loving these people? And I think as well, letting go of any kind of messiah hero complex that's like, we're the ones who've got this right, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to sort of show you how to do church or do religion or do culture or whatever. And I think that's a real negative of people who sometimes go into areas and sort of say, yeah, we've got this, we're going to teach you how to do this. I think that's really...
At the end of the day, it's being authentic, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the issue. Yeah. Not trying to be somebody you're not. Yeah. But how does that work out in the life of your church? Do you do church differently than, you know, the globe? How it works out from week to week? How does that diversity and difference
get
expressed?
So from a perspective of someone who's never been into church, walking into church, there will be things that we do exactly the same as Globe Church. I preach for around 40 minutes. That might even be longer than Globe Church, probably. We sing hymns. People stand up and sit down. We pray. We do communion and baptisms. We do church. We kind of hold on tightly to the things that are important that we're not going to let go of. But what we've tried to do wherever possible is let go of some of the things that maybe are unnecessary barriers. So that's everything from the clothing that people expect to wear, the timing that we start. So church starts at 11, but we won't start the service till about 11:15. It's sort of the from the front stuff. And that first quarter of an hour, we encourage members to be there. We encourage people to come, have tea, have coffee, but it's a bit more of a relaxed environment. I will often talk through and explain stuff that we're doing that might be odd for people from, and this is kind of not so much necessarily the culture, but just an unchurched culture. So I'll talk through what we're doing. We'll have, when song lyrics go up, we'll have little asterisks with explanations of complex words or things that we might assume. I try not to assume a kind of biblical literacy for anybody. So explaining what we mean when I say chapter and verse, what are they looking for? And then we've done other things. So we've learnt theology through rap. A guy called Shai Lin in the States, who people might know. We've gone through three of his raps and learnt theology through that, and that's been really helpful. We sort of teach it as we go through. Again, some people find that weird and awkward. I'm even having discussions with people at the moment about whether that's the best way to sort of reach the estate, and maybe people think it's not really working. But we're just sort of trialing stuff. Trial and error, those kind of things. Yeah, lowering any of the unnecessary barriers, making the main thing. And then, I mean, eating together. So that's one thing that we do exactly the same, but for different reasons in some ways. So you're both Globe and Hope have a meal after the service.
Is that every week?
Every week, yeah, okay. Every week. And the food is cooked by various different people from different cultures, so we'll have Eritrean food. We'll have, there's a lot of Latin Americans, so we'll have kind of Latin American food and a bunch of other stuff. But even just the kind of the chance for people to sit, to chat, to hang out together. And for some people, it is a meal that them and their family, their kids can have, that they don't have to worry about the costs of a meal. So there's a real practical reason, a way of loving people who that might be a tough thing. But then it's just the same as Globe. It's just a meal where the church family can hang out and encourage each other. And that shapes, as in some ways, that's as important as any other element of what we're doing. That shapes the culture as well.
Yeah, Nick, here at Stockwell, very different again. Long, long history, 160-odd years, whatever it is that's it's been around, and predominantly black church. Mm-hmm. How does that get reflected? Are there particular challenges or disadvantages that you're grappling with in that?
It's very different because church cultures are very different. And so I grew up in African Pentecostalism, which is lots of black people in the UK grew up in that kind of world. And it's just a very different world to white conservative evangelical churches. Very little connection between the two worlds. And so one of the things we're trying to do at Stockwell Baptist Church is we want to reflect the best of the tradition. So we want to reflect the best of that church tradition, black church tradition. And I think just trying to think really carefully through that and think through why were things done in a certain way and how can we hold on to what's best about that. At the same time, have the blessing of, having lots of close network with churches which aren't like ours. And the network where we're one of few majority black churches. Most churches are white. And that's a blessing because I think being in that world, learning lots about just white church traditions and just seeing a lot of blessing in that. And so really wanting to find what's best. It's an opportunity to find what's best, to really reflect hard reflect well on those kind of things. Of course, we want to reach a local area which is increasingly white. And so that's one reason. But also just because there's good in the different church traditions, have so much value, so much to offer. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to think through, down to whether you're talking music or preaching or just every element, like how do we think through just the different ways the different kind of churches do it and how can we preserve what's best in these different traditions?
Can I just pick you up on the preaching?
Yes.
Some of us have heard you talk about this in different settings. Can you just very shortly, briefly give us the contrast, if you like, between a classic white preach and a black preach?
Yes, I think, different preaching traditions. So in short, I think what you think the sermon is can slightly differ. So I think often white evangelical conservative settings, preaching is, the goal is to really teach something and the aim in some sense is for people to remember what was taught. That's not always true, but I think that's a big thing. In my kind of tradition growing up, the main thing about preaching was just this time where you experience God. That was the big thing, or some kind of encounter with God. Had the blessing of having a preaching professor in seminary who was an African American, and so been influenced in some ways by the African American preaching tradition where, the main thing was it was just a time of worship, really. The goal of the sermon was for people to be caught up in worship and to especially to be caught up in thinking about the hope, future hope. And so they're just different preaching traditions, which therefore, because the aims are slightly different, the way structures, the sermons are structured are different, the way people go about preaching is different. And so, that's a good example of the kind of thing of just trying to reflect and think through how best to reflect these different traditions. I don't think, it's not that one tradition is bad or one is good, but I think certain traditions do certain things better than others. And so trying to think through that, musically, as a classic example, I guess African church traditions, lots of up-tempo kind of songs. And actually it's significant. It's theologically significant what's happening because there is a kind of exuberant praise that we do in that tradition that just isn't really done in conservative white churches. That's not really a thing that happens in that tradition. So, okay, how do we combine that with some of the more contemplative things? So those are the kind of questions, I guess, going through the mind as we're trying to think through how we do churches. How can we, combine the best there is to offer in the traditions. So even though it's predominantly a black church, again, our aim is to reach Stockwell. And it's a blessing to actually be part of a broader like network that's not like us.
Jonty, to what extent do you feel in those churches that are predominantly white, traditionally conservative, evangelical, we've lost that very aspect of it being an encounter with God, which is tied in with the praise as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know you're kind of aware of that. How do you respond to that in terms and think about it in terms of Globe Church?
Yeah, I think it's partly an expectation, isn't it, in the church of what we're doing when we gather. So one of the great things about our partnership is that we've preached in each other's churches quite a bit. So I've preached at Stockwell quite a few times. I love preaching at Stockwell. I really do. Because there is an expectation, which I think is lacking in a lot of the more conservative evangelical white churches that I would preach in. And so there's an engagement, and a vocal engagement, which I think is terrific, you know, and I love what you said about it's not about setting these traditions against one another. I think that's the trouble, isn't it? We always want to go, this is by saying this is good in this tradition, we're always like, what are you criticizing? No, it's just good. And why wouldn't you want to take the best of every tradition and seek to learn together? I think we probably have slightly lost our confidence in the preaching of the word as the moment in which we encounter God, the moment in which Christ is clearly portrayed as crucified, the moment in which we hear the voice of God and lives are transformed. God addresses his children. And so, yeah, I think I've sort of learned that and kind of learning that from Stockwell and from Yannick and from others, you know, it's great, you know, and if we just stay in our stream, we just reinforce one another's blind spot. We go, aren't we all great? And I listen to someone else preaching, go, oh, you preach like I do, so that must be right. Whereas when you listen to someone different, you go, ah, oh, that's great. So I think we want to be broadening our experience, really.
And that's there's a richness in that, isn't there? But there's also it's also one of the very evident fruits of partnership.
Yeah.
It's obvious here in London because of the multi-ethnicity and the multi-cultures, but it's also reflective of the increasingly so of other places in Britain, isn't it, where you're getting that mirrored. So that's one of the great things to come out of learning from one another and being in partnership together, isn't it? Is that something you've actively been aware of, Sam, or is it just suddenly dawned on you as you've worked together?
A bit of both, probably. I think we're all busy guys, so like the time that we get to actually have together is often few and far between. But one of the things that's been really helpful has been listening to each other's sermons and giving each other feedback on sermons. Can be painful, can be difficult, but on the whole. Through tears, but on the whole, it's good. And these guys will pick up different stuff that I might see, and the guys that I might throw my sermons past sort of on a week-to-week basis might pick up on different things than these guys. So I think that's been really helpful. Yannick particularly, we had a session here in this building with other FIC leaders in London, and Yannick shared some of the stuff that he shared recently, and that has definitely changed the way that I think about the ending of my sermons, what I'm trying to do, where am I trying to leave people as I step away from the lectern, what am I trying to leave people with, what's my purpose in that. So that's been helpful. I think a combination of sort of intentional let's shape each other. We could probably do that a bit better together, and hopefully, you know, we're in some ways we're at the start of a relationship. We're very early into the years of planting and the various different churches, or joining the various different churches. I hope that if we're still here in 5 or so years' time, we'll have more stories of ways that we've intentionally done that. But then also just listening to each other preach, encouraging each other, knowing each other's backgrounds in each other's churches, preaching in each other's churches, that will shape the way that we do things as well. And there are other guys. I mean, I'm blessed to also, as part of this, you know, as well as this, to have good relationships with the guys at London City Mission and the guys there, particularly one of the missionaries there who's an elder at Hope Church, a guy called Shane. His background of preaching is very much in working class council estate background, and he has shaped me massively as a preacher because he just does things completely different. And then there's stuff that I've learned from him that then these guys, as we gather together, we can shape each other. And our preaching is not going to be the same, and it shouldn't be the same because we're preaching to different groups of people. But there is, as Yannick was saying previously, there's theological significance to those differences, and we can learn from the beauty of that and the benefit of that, and shape each other.
And I do think we get too comfortable with our way of doing things. And one of the challenges for the guys who went from Globe to Hope was being willing to say, I'll be in a church which doesn't feel as comfortable. Mm. And so someone said to me at Globe, and she said this to me as a sort of reflective, not criticism, but as a sort of just reflection. She said, I've never really felt uncomfortable at Globe. It's absolutely where I fit. And that's it. In one sense, that's great. In another sense, though, you want to say, no, everybody should feel uncomfortable, because I think in our churches, we want to be reflecting the diversity. And therefore, yes, there may be this chunk who feel comfortable, but there's a whole bunch who don't. And so how do you move so that those who feel comfortable actually are pushed a bit to not simply, you know, in terms of the music style that we do, in terms of how we preach, the things that we talk about, that we're not just comfortably washing over people with stuff they already know.
Is that stuff you talk to the congregation about specifically?
Yeah. Yeah, but only as it, normally as it comes out of the preaching, right? So we're working through the book of Galatians at the moment, and there's tons of stuff about you're one in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? You know, we read that and go, oh, that's nice. We're wanting, now hang on, if that's true, the Jews and Gentiles would feel profoundly uncomfortable sitting down to eat together. So much so that Peter gets to a point of saying, actually, probably better we don't, because I so would much rather feel comfortable and accepted and approved of. We've got to keep pushing into the uncomfortableness of oneness in Christ, rather than kind of just settling for, well, we're one and you can be one over there. Now, that doesn't mean we've all got to merge. Like I said earlier, we need different churches, but it does mean, so on Good Friday, we're going to have a joint service with Stockwell Baptist Church. That would be for a whole bunch of people from Globe. They'll never have been in a church that isn't a majority white church. That would be terrific. And on that day, it's really important that that I'm not the one who preaches at that event. I don't want to be the one who preaches. I want Yannick to preach, or I want Mike, who's my co-pastor at Globe, who's a Korean guy, that it isn't. We go, oh, great, the white church is here. You know, that I want to listen. I want our church to see that.
There's loads more to explore in this area, but our time has gone. I'm going to leave you with the final word, though, Yannick. One final reflection upon one bit of advice that you would give to us white pastors about what to hold in the forefront of our mind when we think about this issue of diversity.
I think it's kind of been said, but I think a lot of the conversation about diversity ends up being, how can we be diverse so we don't look bad? And I just, you know, so that's what's going on in the world. Like, look, the picture, the staff page looks really white, or, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's just like, how can we be diverse so we don't look like we're terrible people? It's just not a biblical, I don't think it's biblical or helpful at all. There is actually genuine value in diversity. There's genuine added value in it. And I've seen that, you know, Jonty and Sam, you know, have been two of the biggest influences on my preaching. You know, I mean, Sam, going back to when we, you know, did Westminster at One together, it's been really, really helpful, partly because he comes from a totally different church tradition to me, preaching tradition. There are things that he is sensitive to that in my tradition, it's not, it doesn't really matter. Well, that's been really helpful. So more than being diverse so you can even necessarily reach people, though that's a thing, I think it's helped me be a better preacher. And I think diversity can help us do church in better ways, in richer ways. We can, yeah, glorify God in ways that we don't yet know. So I think if there's anything I would say on the issue is just, yeah, I think to we can approach it in ways that realise that we're actually one body and the different parts of the body actually have different things that they bring to the table. And therefore, like, coming together isn't an exercise in PR. It's actually, well, we're actually seeking to glorify God. And I think I've personally, yeah, really benefited from that.